We're casting back to those best laid plans conjured up during lockdown. Like many people, Australian woman Tuesday Brail used her time in isolation to complete a new project. But unlike those who tried their hand at baking or practicing yoga, or sourdough was the thing, wasn't it? She decided on something much more ambitious. Tuesday built a solar-powered sailing boat out of plywood, inspired by an Egyptian felucca. If you want to know what an Egyptian felucca-inspired boat looks like, there are images on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/9tonoon. Not only that, and thanks to the help of two friends, she actually completed it for its maiden voyage a few weeks ago. Tuesday took it out on the Murray River to celebrate her 63rd birthday. Images of that too. She now hopes her boat will inspire others to get out in nature and value their local wild places and rivers. Tuesday Brail is with us from her farm in northern Victoria, close to the banks of the Murray River. It's probably still fairly early over there, Tuesday, so thanks very much for being with us and happy Christmas to you.
Good morning, New Zealand. Thank you so much. Yes, it is a bit early. We're on the farm, so it's not that early, but it's 20 past seven or half past seven. So, and it's a marvellous and glorious day, ready for Santa. Now, and he comes to your place first, so you send him back over this way.
We'll do that. He's going to be a popular guy this year, that's for sure. So Tuesday, people had their thing in lockdown. What happened in yours?
Well, lockdown was pretty tough. Even though we're farmers on a farm and you know, we're used to sort of doing things on our own, it was still harsh. You know, there was no visitors. You can't see your grandkids. You couldn't see your kids. You couldn't see even the neighbours. And it felt dreary and lonely, I guess, even though we've got animals. And so I'm a great river person, love being on boats. So I thought, that's it. I'm going to build a boat. I was sick of being on boats with engines going, you know, so it was always loud. And so I just thought, no, I really want to build a boat, but I want to do it so that it's quiet. And so the electric engine is just fantastic. It's out of this world. When you go down the river, you can hear people on the bank talking in their camps. You can hear birds, you know, in their nests. You can sneak up to a bird's nest, and it's just the bird doesn't even know what to do because they're not used to boats coming up so quietly. And the shape of it's just I like the shape of the felucca. You know, they really are river boats. And I don't know about New Zealand. I think you have some really nice wooden boats over there, but a lot of our boats over here are a little bit square and white, and they're a bit boring, I think. So it was time to add a bit of art out to our river and to inspire others as well to get a little bit artistic with their watercraft.
So have you always been a boaty, Tuesday, and have you been able to build, like, have you had hands-on boat building experience before?
A little bit, yes. So I came down to the Murray River with my husband, and we built the paddle steamer Emmy Lou. Now, she's a 90-ton vessel, so that's a bit of a different kettle of fish. That was, you know, lots of people building, welding, and she's a metal boat or composite boat with wooden infrastructure. So nothing quite like that, no. But this particular one, this is just a twet. She's, what, 7-8 metres? And 3 metres wide, so it's just quite, it's like building a straw bale house, you know, something you can do yourself. You can lift a straw bale yourself. You know, I'm not a very big person. I'm 55 kilos, but, you know, this way I could actually be hands-on involved, and, you know, I can cut a piece of wood, I can cut a piece of plywood, and I can fiberglass. So it was something that I could get my hands on. I can't weld, you know, so I couldn't do a metal boat Yeah, and I was christened on the Ark Royal, you know, which was the flagship of the Royal Navy in England when I was born. So, and we've always been fishing, and I lived in New Guinea and Malta and Kuwait, and we were always fishing, always on boats. So they're part of my life, and to be on this fantastic river, it's, you know, one of the longest rivers in the world, is 3,000 something kilometres, so I won't run out of water.
What was that story? Were you a kid when you were doing all that travelling, or did you do that as an adult?
No, as a kid, we lived in all those countries, and then my whole family's continued to travel. We don't know anything else. We, you know, once you're a traveller, you're always a traveller, I think. So, yeah.
What's the
always headed for water?
Go ahead. Oh, always hit the water. Yeah.
Sorry, I said. Yep. Sorry, your turn.
Tell us about the maiden voyage then, because it must be something else when you've built this with your own hand.
Oh, it was. So at first, when we first put her in, it was like, you know, we had great big sort of had little bells going and it was fantastic and she didn't sink. You know, I was hoping, oh, my God, I hope the glue sticks, you know, I hope the fiberglass thing's okay. And it's hot, you know, we're going into our summer now, so it was hot. So one of the things that I really liked about it was my Zeapots. So I've used old African technology with a big terracotta pot with another terracotta pot inside it and sand around it, and it keeps your food cool. So everything's really simple. There's nothing, even though it's high-tech electronics, solar-powered, so I've got solar panels on the roof that charge the battery that power the motor. Everything else is really, really, you know, traditional, like the Zeapot, like the design. So, and look, it was just fantastic. And she went much faster than I thought she'd go. She did about 10 kilometres an hour. You know, on the Murray, those sorts of boats, we sort of sit on 5, 6, 7 kilometres an hour. But on her first run, the wind caught her sail and she just woof, she just headed out. It was great. It was faster than what I thought.
You know, we're all looking for a bit of mental and emotional peace in the midst of all this stuff, aren't we, Tuesday? And yes. I think that's some of what came out of lockdown. That was part of what people were doing, whether they were baking or started writing again or started yoga or just, you know, looking at and talking to their families differently. We're all looking for a bit of peace. And what's it like to be out on that astonishing body of water in this beautiful boat, even in the midst of everything that's going on at the moment in the world? What's it meant to you?
It's that the ability to be able to just zero out, I think, to not have to think. I was just listening to some of your guests before and, you know, the politics, I couldn't listen every day any longer. You know, I was like your listeners, listening every morning going, what's happening now? How many people have got this? Who's dead? What's happening back home in England? What's happening in New Zealand? What's happening in Africa? I've got friends all over the world. What is happening to them? And it can become so overwhelming. It was just, oh, gosh, you know, and to be able to focus on something else, to be able to build a boat, which over quite a few months over the winter, and then to be able to put it on a wild place where there's a kangaroo hopping over the river or a snake in the river or, you know, the wattles flowering and it was just that reminder that nature, that our mother nature will rule, you know, that she's there and she will look after us. And I think that was the peace of mind that I got or that I get.
We got to look after her, though. I've got to say, our Aussie media commentator here, Australian-born media commentator, has got a tear in his eye at the moment. I think he's there with you.
It's a beautiful part of the world.
It really is. It is a beautiful part of the world.
It is.
Yeah.
And just like David Attenborough says, that we need to be looking after our wild places, and the Murray River really is a wild place, even though we often don't think that we're in a wild place because we live in it. Like New Zealand, I go there and go, wow, this is some great wild places here. You know, but those people that live there might not think it. They might think that Alaska's wilder. But we actually have them in our own backyard, and I think we need to recognise that and really look after our wild places.
I know
we're down to something like
3%
or something.
I know. You don't want to look back on that. You want to look forward.
No. So let's look forward. Let's look at the wild places and love them.
You're doing that, though. You've got a march journey, right, which is about drawing attention on the Darling River. You know, we know there's been issues with water, and you want to draw attention to those to preserve that beautiful waterway. What's the plan for March?
Well, late March, early April, after the summer heat, because it's so hot. It's about a 600, 700 kilometre journey. I'd like to take Wanambi down, so we'll tow her all the way up to Menindee and bring her down. Again, you know, I'm only doing 8-10 kilometres an hour, so it'll take quite some time, I imagine 6 weeks. But, yeah, just to get a little bit of attention on there. Not only a lot of our discussion is from the banks of the river. It's from a farming point of view. It's from an irrigation point of view. It's from other points of view. I want to bring a point of view about the rivers. Our rivers need our attention, and a river deserves to have a boat on it. They were the traditional highways of past, you know. So we need to keep those river highways open and love them and pay bring attention to them, because we really need water in them. You can't be emptying rivers. You can't just say, no, it's not a river anymore.
Tuesday, thank you. It's been lovely talking to you. We'll send Santa over a couple of hours after he's done here, all right?
All right, thank you very much, and you have a wonderful festive season.
Thank you. Tuesday, Brel.